streaming in. It is great to be here with my family. And this morning, I just wanted instead of starting off with a series, I figured this would be a good morning for you get to know me, so who I am, because I'm sure many of you don't know who I am. So let's start. I just want to give my testimony, if that's all right, this morning. And so let me introduce myself. My name is J.P. Smits, Pastor J.P. Smits. What does J.P. stand for? Usually that's the first thing people ask me. Actually, sometimes not, but if you remember initials, usually I respond to it. J.P. Stands for John Peter. It's a hyphenated first name, so I don't have a middle name. John Peter is my first name, John Peter Smits. Smits is my last name. I don't go by John Peter because when I say my name is John Peter, usually people think Peter is my middle name. Or my last name, sorry. They think it's my last name. And then they call me John, and I don't respond to John. And if I say John Peter Smits, a lot of times people think I'm that weird guy that says their middle name all the time. And so just so you know, that's why I go by JP. But it's great to be here this morning. I grew up in Markdale, not far from here. And both of my parents, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were Christians. So I grew up going to church. And my dad was Dr. Jan Smith. Some of you might have heard of him. He was the dentist in Markdale, or maybe you even went to him to see him. But he grew up also singing in a quartet called the Gospel Couriers. And when I was 8 years old, I heard my dad singing a song about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Perhaps you know that song. And it also had lyrics that talked about being whiter than snow. You guys know that song? I think, yeah. And so that night, when I was 8 years old, I was talking to my mom about what that song meant, and she explained it to me. And, you know, at the time, I thought it was kind of disgusting to be washed in blood. But she explained to me that Jesus was the Son of God and that he came to earth to die as a man for the sins of the world, including mine, past, present, and future. And although I was born in it with a sinful spirit, that God would give me a new spirit that was perfect and sinless. So although my 8-year-old brain probably didn't understand everything that was going on, I knew that I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart and to make me new, to forgive me of my sins. So I knelt by the edge of my bed with my mom and as an 8-year-old and asked Jesus into my heart. Now, fast forward till after high school. After high school, I had the opportunity to attend a youth with a mission organization called YWAM. Have you heard of YWAM? So I was a part of YWAM for 2 years. I did a lot of traveling around the United States. And I also spent some time in Honduras and also 3 months in India, where during those years, I had the opportunity to see how other people lived. And I was exposed to a number of different belief systems, including Hinduism, Buddhism, Muslim, and the Baha'i faith. And I saw firsthand how all these incredible temples where people worshiped and that they prayed in. And during that time, I started to ask some great questions, some big questions about my own Christian faith. I wanted to know the difference between one belief and another. Now, some people even said to me, whenever I asked them questions, some people said, oh, no matter what belief you are in, they all lead to God. And I was 17 when I entered into YWAM. And as a 17-year-old, I knew that that didn't seem right because they had so many contradictions between the faiths. And I knew there had to be more than simply saying that they were all good. God did a work in my heart over those 2 years where I really came, even though I had asked Jesus into my heart when I was 8 years old, I really came into my own faith in Jesus for myself. Now, during that time, I began to fall in love with the Christian Bible. And as I served people of different faiths, we did all kinds of things like giving them meals, building schools, sharing music, leading worship, and and talking to people about Jesus. We handed tracts out all over the place. I really had a new understanding of what the Bible was talking about when it was saying that we needed to be salt and light in the world and that the harvest was plentiful. And it also said to take care of orphans and widows, and that giving someone a cup of water was the same as giving Jesus a cup of water. And I realized that the God of the Bible truly loved people in a real and tangible way. And it made a difference in people's lives. I saw that firsthand. I learned that God cared for each person as his creation, as a son or daughter, and that he gives each person, each one of us, a purpose for living. And that's why he gifted us, if you will, with so many different talents and personalities and the world with races of people as he gives gifts to those people. We're all meant to be celebrated because we are all given a God-given purpose. We're all made in the image of God. Now, when I was in India, I had the rare but incredible opportunity to meet Mother Teresa and spend some one-on-one time with Mother Teresa. I could clearly see how she had an impact on the community around her by giving clothes to people, by providing food, by building orphanages, and also for caring for people. Even in the hour walk, the area where a lot of the orphanages were, you could see a difference in even people who lived on the street from the impact that the orphanages and her ministry had in the area. When we started talking about the Lord and the Bible and missions, this is what she told me. She told me that she started helping one person and then another and then another and then three and then 10. And then some people gave her money. They saw the good work that she was doing and they gave her money to help more people. And she told me how things just took off from there. It was one thing after another. People wanted her to start orphanages and she was able to change the face of the country of India through all that she was doing. But this is what she told me. She said, go find one person and help them, and then another, and then another, and another. And that is the simple thing that God has called us all to do, and that God would do the rest. Isn't that good? It's wise advice, and that's it. That was being Jesus to others and expressing him through our lives. I also learned in India how every single hospital and every single school, and mostly around the world, they were started by Christian missionaries with that same heart. I knew for myself that I wanted to give my life to following Jesus and to serve as a Christian for the rest of my life. Now, over those years in missions, there was also another big, big change that I can't pass over this morning that I need to tell you about, a work that God did in my life. And the only way I can explain it is that it wasn't natural, but that God did a supernatural work in me over those 2 years. Although I had a lot of friends at the time and I loved being around people, I realized that I had a fear of man. I remember someone that I went to high school with, he went on the bus with me, Chad Jackson. You guys know Chad. And I remember him saying, JP, I went a number of years on the bus with you, and I didn't even know what your voice sounded like because you were so shy. I had a fear of man. I was shy. Now, I don't think I was quite as quiet or shy as my friend talked about. But I was shy, and I realized that I had a fear of other people. But after serving over those 2 years, God changed my heart. He changed me from the inside out. He put in me a love for others that didn't make me fear them anymore. And out of my love for God, I wasn't afraid of people. I wasn't afraid of public speaking like I used to be or singing on a stage. Over those years, I picked up a guitar and I started playing songs, writing songs, by myself and writing songs with other people. I believe, again, that only God could have done that work. The only way is that God, to explain it, is that God gave me a confidence that he was with me all the time. He was helping me. He was protecting me. He was guiding my steps. He placed a love and a compassion in me for people and a desire to see them saved and discipled. Now, some of the verses that really impacted me and changed me at this time that I read were Matthew 6:25-34. And it was entitled, "Do Not Worry," and I want to read it this morning. It says this: "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, or body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Isn't that good? When I was reading my Bible, I learned that God was a good God, that I was his son, that he would take care of me in every circumstance, and that I could live a life of blessing in him, that he was always with me, no matter where I go as I follow him. I learned that I didn't have to worry about the future, the things around me that I worried about, that held me back, that I was insecure about. God saw me as being successful and prosperous, not in the world's definition, but in his definition, the most important definition. Amen. I also love Galatians 5, verse 1. It says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." When Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected from the grave, he did so that I could be free from all things that weighed me down. It is for freedom that we are set free. We are to let our chains drop and walk away in freedom and not walk in fear, to let our burdens be removed because Jesus has carried our burdens. Throughout those years, I learned how to walk in freedom, knowing that is only through the power of Christ living in me, and that I was set free from every chain that held me down. And over those years, I really grew in my identity of who I was in Christ. I then decided to attend Bible college in Oklahoma, and then through my 20s, I started writing songs, again, more and more songs, and I started leading worship for churches and for youth groups. And then by the time I graduated Bible college, I was playing in a number of different bands in the United States and traveling around the States. But then I was asked to sing for a band here in Ontario called Zach's Tree. I moved back from the States back to Ontario. We were based out of Own Sound, and we recorded a number of albums, and I had the opportunity over the next number of years to play in front of hundreds of people. I remember playing a concert at Canada's Wonderland where we opened for a band called Third Day. And there was about 12,000 people at that concert. And I remember kind of looking out and saying, "Lord, how in the world can you transform a young man from a small town to a boy, a, someone who was so nervous to speak in front of people, to be able to sing in front of a crowd like that. I knew the transformation in my life was only by the grace of God and a love for others that he could put in someone's own heart. I remember saying, God, the glory is all yours. Because the testament, it wasn't to myself. I knew there was no way that I could do things without him changing me and doing a work in my life. And I was so thankful to God over those years. I began to experience a love, a joy, and a peace in my life that only God could give in someone's heart. It didn't come from being on a stage. That's the one thing I want you to remember. It didn't come from being on a stage. But instead, it was about serving people, helping them, and showing Jesus to them. Now, I love hearing testimonies of what God has done in and through a person's life when they fully surrender their lives to God and they allow him to change them from the inside out. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work that he did in me, he gave me the confidence to witness on street corners over those years, to participate in theatrical plays as outreach, to hand out Bibles in our community, and eventually he called me into full-time ministry. I then went on to serve as a youth pastor at General Shepherd Community Church for about 6.5 years, and then as a worship pastor the last 5 years at a church called Koinonia Christian Fellowship, which is in Bloomingdale, just outside of Kitchener-Waterloo. I've seen firsthand how God's word, the Bible, is strong and powerful, double-edged sword. It will bring change and transformation in anyone's life that is willing to surrender to it. I stand here empowered to proclaim before you this morning that Jesus is the hope of the world. Now, my life is still full of challenges, but God continues to guide each one of our family steps. I have learned that God gives us strength and victory over each challenge when we choose to fully trust in him and to walk in his truth. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief, which is Satan or the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, which is Jesus, have come that they might have life and have it to the full. It also says in John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I love those verses. So many times we hear John 3:16 and not John 3:17. He did not come to condemn me or anyone else in this world, but instead to give us life and to have it to the full. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, talking about having life to the full, let me introduce my wife. When I was 29 years old, I married an amazing woman. This is Danielle. And she's smart, she's fun, she's caring, compassionate, she's beautiful inside and out, she is a wonderful mom, and she loves Jesus with all her heart. Isn't that good? Now, she grew up attending Cedarside Baptist Church with her family in Flesherton, and this Thursday, Danielle and I will be celebrating our 16th anniversary. So, yes, thank you. Now, together, Danielle and I have seen the Lord provide in the most extraordinary ways. We pray together, and God leads us. God has fulfilled our dreams of being parents as well, and we have 4 beautiful children that we get to see God through every single day of our lives. And let me just introduce you to them as well, or them to you. Our oldest is Josiah, and I know you can't see them probably online, but Josiah, Liam, Gabrielle, and Sophia. So 13, 10, 8, and age 6. And just a bit about them so you get to know them as well. Josiah loves basketball. Liam loves soccer. He plays rep soccer in Waterloo. Gabrielle loves singing. She's an amazing singer. Maybe you'll see her up here sometime. She is amazing at gymnastics, and she loves playing with dolls. And Sophia also loves playing with dolls. And one thing I want to tell you about her is that when she was, when we were in Texas, she was 5 years old still. She called me outside. She wanted to show me that she could do 100 cartwheels. 100 cartwheels. And I wasn't sure if she'd get to it, but by about 75, I pulled out my phone and started recording because I knew that she was going to get there. And she ended up doing 250 cartwheels in a row at age 5. It was amazing. And I want to tell you about them to honor them, to bless them. They're so wonderful. The love and joy that God works through my family is more than I can express on paper or through words, because it's something that can only be known in the heart of a person. Amen? Well, this past year, COVID changed a lot of things for my family, but the Lord opened an opportunity for me to participate in a 4-month lead pastoral internship at Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas. Now, Gateway Church is led by Pastor Robert Morris. Now, as Danielle and I look back on that experience, especially the last few months, we're so amazed by God's faithfulness and how he moved in our situation and took such great care of us. We felt that we were surrounded by the love of the Lord throughout this whole time and taking our family down to the States for this time. We knew that we really learned that God's goodness wasn't based on how we felt. And looking back, we see that he was always working. He was always faithful. And we know he always will be. God has been faithful in the good times, the hard times, and faithful in the desert. Now, this has been my first week here as interim pastor here at part of First Baptist Church in Mount Forest. And I can see that you are a church full of, this is a church full of good people who love God with their whole hearts. Amen? I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. Yes, you here this morning, watching online, you are the hope of the world. I believe that when the church truly rises up, that we can feed the hungry, that we can clothe the naked. I believe that the church of Jesus can heal the sick spiritually, mentally, and yes, physically. I believe with everything in me that the local church, empowered by the risen Christ, is the hope of the world. Why? Because Jesus is the hope of the world. We are his church, which means we choose to be his hands and feet. Think about who you're going to cross paths with in your community this week. There will probably be people who are stuck, desperate, alone, or afraid. Perhaps it's someone caught up in addiction or a marriage that is struggling, or a teenager in the midst of a crisis. It's good to think about because it reminds us when we were that person, alone and maybe afraid, and how we surrendered our lives and were transformed by the love of Christ. This morning, I want to encourage you in this. You can't walk on water unless you get out of the boat. Be a little uncomfortable. Share your faith. Comfort can be the enemy of progress. Lead by faith. When our natural meets God's supernatural, I truly believe that explosive things will happen in our midst, in this church. I know that you are a people that long to see people filled with God's love and hope, that care for others. One of the things that I learned in Texas that I want to share with you is this. It's a quote by Pastor Zach Neese from Gateway Church. And he says this. The bottom line is this. Our leaders know that we can build a beautiful facility and fill it with beautiful people, beautiful music, and wonderful programs. But if it is devoid of God's presence, it means absolutely nothing. We strive to have God's presence first. Then when we do that right, then people come and fill the seats. What is the point of building an enormous church and filling it with people if God is not here? If God is not in the church, the building is only a monument to the will of man. It is vanity. Like Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. I ask you this, who will heal them? Who will save them? Who will set them free? No man can do these things. But when we minister to God, he comes. He is enthroned among the praises of his people. And where God is, anything is possible. Healing happens in the presence of a healing God. Salvation happens in the presence of our Savior. Captives are set free in the presence of the Deliverer, the King of Kings who reigns over every spiritual adversary. Growth happens. Transformation happens. Repentance happens. Callings are heard. The word is sharp and effective, and prayers are answered. Anything is possible when God is in the house, and God enters the house when we minister to him. Pastor Zach goes on to say, yes, we are all about people, but we know that we have nothing to offer unless we are first all about God. Then we can do, as it says in Luke 16, we can go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. This morning, I want to leave you with this scripture. Philippians 3:13-14, it says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. My hope over the next few months of being here is that this congregation, that we will strain toward what is ahead in the things that God has called us to, that we will grow deeper and more unified than ever in Christ by placing him first, so that you will be empowered to fulfill the Lord's vision and calling for this church community. Amen? Amen. Well, in closing this morning, I want to ask you this. What is the Lord speaking to you? How is he ministering to your heart through the words I just shared? If you'd bow your heads with me. Now, we never want to go too quick that we don't take the time to ask. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that has never accepted Jesus into their life and surrendered, truly surrendered, and asked God to forgive them of their sin. So I ask you this morning, if there's someone here, you can just raise a hand. We'd like to pray with you. It's the first step, the most important decision you could ever make. It's a step to true freedom. This morning, is there anyone here who would like to ask Jesus into their life who's not done so? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you the things that you're speaking to our heart. Lord, we proclaim that you are the center of our lives, Lord, the center of our church. Lord, thank you that your word is powerful, a double-edged sword. Lord, I thank you that we are changed by your word. And Lord, we just, again, welcome you into our lives to lead us every day through your word, to guide us around the people that we're around each and every day, whether it's in a grocery store or if we're waiting in a line somewhere. Lord, that you would lead us who to speak out to share our faith with our community, to truly be the hands and feet. Lord, I pray for the leadership of this church as well, that you would continue to lead and guide them as they plan on next steps, on outreach. Lord, we just pray and speak blessing over this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to stand and I'm going to invite the worship team up at this time. We're going to end with a song. So how about you stand? We'll join together and sing in one last song.
splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will say, how great, how great is our God!
Age to age,
and age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, the beginning and the end, the beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And oh, we'll see how great is our God!
Sing, name above all names,
name above all names, you are worthy. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior. How great thou art! How great thou art!
Sing that one more time.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!
For our offering this morning, I just want to encourage you. There aren't offering plates being handed out, so there are. They are by the back doors, I believe, so you can hand them in on the way out. And I believe there is an online something online where you can give as well. And we're going to be learning more about that over the next few weeks. But just want to encourage you again to worship the Lord through your offering and your giving. Let's pray over the offering even this morning. Lord, we thank you for the offering, Lord, that you are the God that you are. We look to you as our provider for all things, Lord. Thank you that we can be blessed to give back to you, Lord.
that you would use it and multiply it for your good work, for your will. In Jesus' name, we come with a heart of worship and worship you with our offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.